Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us on this fine Monday. Coming up this morning on the show, in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. And in 40 minutes, the Philadelphia Eagles seem to have their quarterback situation finally sorted out. Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, Jalen Hurts is your starter. But reports over the weekend surfaced that the Eagles could be looking at drafting another QB. Wait a second. We'll discuss that coming up here on the show in 40 minutes from now. Next hour, a little over an hour from now, Trey Wingo is going to join us, longtime host for the NFL Draft. We'll talk to Trey about the NFL Draft coming up here next hour. As always, if you want to jump in on that, on the Masters over the weekend, on anything in the NBA or NHL playoff races, 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, the Padres notching their first no-no in franchise history. They've been around for a long time and finally got their first no-hitter. So perhaps a season of big things in San Diego. A lot is to be expected, and the first thing that you can never know when it's going to happen is a no-hitter. A lot of luck goes involved in that. They never had one. There was... In their franchise's history, they were the final team in Major League Baseball never to have a no-hitter, and they got one. So that's very cool for Padres fans. But I want to start in the NBA, where over the weekend, you had comments by Kevin Durant that once again put the spotlight on his happiness. And I do have to ask this. Maybe we are making the problems. Maybe we as the media and the fans are creating the Kevin Durant problem. Because it does feel like we are never satisfied in not knowing whether he's happy or not, or these players are happy or not. You know, the reason I bring this up is because we're all so tired, seemingly, of whether guys are happy. It's like, who cares, right? Go out, do your job, play basketball or football or baseball or whatever sport we're talking about, compete, try to win, do your best, work hard, collect the paycheck, and the happiness part of it shouldn't necessarily affect how you do your job. All of us in life go through, sometimes on a daily basis, whether or not we're really happy. How many of you right now are driving to work, getting ready for your day, asking yourself, am I really happy? Is this the life that I really wanted to leave? Is this the job that I really wanted to have? Is this the family life I really wanted? Have I done the things I've wanted to do? Everybody every day probably asks some version of that question. And so hearing guys who make all of that money and have all of that celebrity and have all of those options at their disposal and travel charter and eat at the best restaurants and all of these things, to hear them talk about happiness is like, take a hike, guys. Now, it's not saying that everybody that makes a lot of money can be happy or should be happy. I'm not saying that at all, because sometimes all of that money and all of that fame leads to all of the reasons you are unhappy. There is a void that can be felt. And let's face it, the old adage that money doesn't buy you happiness is absolutely true, although it does buy you a lot of things that can make you happy. So Kevin Durant tells Rachel Nichols over the weekend in a long-form interview that aired on SportsCenter, I wasn't expecting to be a happy human from winning a title. I was just expecting the ending of a movie. Once you worked so hard and everybody tells you, yo, this is what you need to be working for, that gold ball, these rings, I'm just like, all right, cool. Let me lock in on that. And I locked in on wanting to achieve that. But I also realize it's a lot of stuff that factors in that's out of my control. All of that makes a lot of sense from Kevin Durant. People say, to define your career, you're going to need that trophy, those championships, these rings. Because look, Michael is the greatest of all time, and he had all of that. That's what he's defined by. Bill Russell's the greatest winner. He's one of the greatest players of all time. Winner. That's what made him happy. That's what drove him, you would imagine. LeBron was still not quite one of the greats because he had not had a championship in his first 7 years of the NBA. Finally, I said, go to Miami and close the deal. And then we started talking about him in those rarefied terms. And LeBron talks about the championship of the championship only. That is what we're here to do. And so you hear that and you hear us talk about it and you think, well, the only thing that can define me is the championships. And so I understand where Kevin Durant's talking about and where he's coming from when it comes to that conversation. But then he said, once I won that championship with the Warriors, I realized that my view on this game is really about development. Like, how good can I be? It's not about, let's go get this championship. I appreciate that stuff, and I want to win to experience that stuff. But it's not the end-all, be-all of why I play this game. Durant said, I've been around, been out of this game for 2 years with injuries, having anxiety about things like, what am I doing when I get back? Being out with that Achilles has you thinking about the game differently. And my goal now is to be out there. You know what's going to happen when I'm out there. I just want to be available. And I think that's all I really want out of this, to be available for as long as I can, and we'll see what happens between the lines. So there's a couple of things here that I found notable and a couple of things that obviously gained a lot of traction. Durant's happiness is always a source of conversation because the guy does so many weird things because his behavior is so weird. You know, Kevin Durant does have all of the things that you would imagine define you as a great basketball player. He has the championships. He has the notoriety. He has the respect. He has the money. He has multiple franchises who would want to do anything for him. What left is there? And here he is fighting with people on Twitter incessantly and consistently defending his honor on all these platforms that really don't matter. And obviously a very sensitive guy that likes to lash out using Twitter and Instagram. And so it's just a very bizarre thing. So when Durant says, basically, I thought I'd be happy winning championships, but it's really not about that. It didn't really bring me that happiness. You're like, oh, here we go again. That this really complex, convoluted personality. Now, even that's not enough. And so if winning is not enough, and the money's not enough, and finding the perfect situation is not enough, what is it ever going to be that'll make you happy? And, I mean, my big takeaway is I don't think Kevin Durant ever really gets that happy. I really don't. And some of that is his fault and some of that is not. Look, I talk about Little Mo, my hero, a lot because he chose his attitude every single day, no matter how bad his life was, no matter, quote-unquote, air quotes, because we would think that it's really bad because he's dealing with this awful cancer that's ravaging his body. He didn't view it that way. So you do get to choose your perspective. You do get to choose how you think about things. And that's why Mo is my greatest teacher ever. He taught me that lesson. You think you're going through something that was put upon you. You don't have to think about it that way. You get to choose. That's a pretty powerful thing. And so Durant every day could choose not to care about what Steve Kerr says or what to care about what people say on social media. What he doesn't have to care about. Charles Barkley, that doesn't have to affect him. He can choose otherwise, but it does. The second part, though, is that I think because he's a complicated guy, there's a part of this that I really respect. Because I've oftentimes talked about how I do find Tom Brady's existence a little sad. And here's why. The only thing, clearly, that at this moment in time satisfies Brady's happiness is winning a Super Bowl. And no matter how many times he does it, he cannot let it go. It's not enough. And people like that achieve great things. But when things are never enough, you always are never satisfied and cannot in the moment just appreciate what you've done, what you've accomplished, and where your life is. Really hyper-driven people are restless. Really incredibly driven people are driven to great things, but they are never actually happy because they think that the achievement is what's going to make them happy. But ultimately, you've got to find something else within you. So I say this delicately because I don't mean this to come off as like trashing Tom Brady for no reason, but I think our society and our sports landscape values one thing and one thing only, and that's it. And Tom Brady's pursuit of never-ending championships comes off as, wow, what a great laborer, technician, commitment. This is what Brady's all about. This is superhuman. When there is a part of this that is a little sad that, what, four championships wasn't going to give you enough rise, five wasn't enough, six wasn't enough, seven still not enough. I mean, what is enough then? You know, it's like the billionaire that just has to keep making more money. What is ever going to be enough? But for Kevin Durant to not be drawn by that, I think it's a little refreshing that happiness comes to him from a different standpoint. My question here, though, is, what are the Nets getting? Because the Brooklyn Nets didn't sign Kevin Durant with the hope that, hey, he's just going to try to develop as a human being here. You know, that's not why you signed Kevin Durant. You signed Kevin Durant because you expect him to be one of the greatest players of the NBA. And to change the reality of your organization and to drive himself to a championship because he's done that in the past because you would assume that that is the collective goal here. And I think if you're a Nets fan reading these comments this week and you're like, oh, great. Oh, so you drove yourself to finally win those championships and you did it. And then you found out it wasn't really what made you happy. And now you're just about development. Oh, well, thanks. That's just terrific. That's just great. No, Kevin Durant has been in the league 14 seasons. Is that not amazing? This is his 14th year in the NBA. And when you hear him talk about these things, I do think it sheds some light on the Warrior situation. I think it sheds a lot of light, actually, on the Warrior situation. Kevin Durant was told, you got to win a championship, man. That's the only thing that's going to complete your resume. Without that, you're not those guys. And so what did he choose? He chose the vessel that would get him there. The team that had just won 73 games. And in that moment, maybe he considered that he was not going to be respected like Michael would or LeBron would or other players, Kobe would, because he was gravy training to a championship. But in that moment, at the very least, he thought, this is what's going to make me happy, winning the title. And this is where I'm going to win the title because these guys are so close already and they just did that a couple of years ago. So obviously that's what drove that decision. Sure, he could make it about the bond between him and the other players, that they made him feel welcome, that the Warriors had an elite organization and he had just lost to them. And so he saw what they were all about and Draymond had come to recruit him. But really, ultimately, it was about what he's saying now. I thought I wasn't going to be complete, or I wasn't going to be happy until I won a championship. And then why did it end so poorly in Golden State, where he is openly feuding with Draymond Green? Steve Kerr talks about how miserable the final season was. Why did that happen? Because KD won two titles and realized that's not what made him happy. He just admitted it. He won those two championships and realized this ain't the thing. For some people, it would be. For Michael, it was the only thing. For Tom Brady, it's the only thing. For Kobe, it was the only thing. For Kevin Durant, he realized it wasn't. And so being there and the crucible that was, it didn't fulfill him. So, okay, so this is a little hard because I'm going to try not to give some wisdom to a 35-year-old guy, but Kevin Durant, or 32 or 33, Kevin Durant, I don't think will ever be happy because he's been searching for this for a long time. And who knows? I mean, maybe it comes after basketball, so I shouldn't say that. But what is very obvious is KD's been searching for something that he can't find. Winning a title wasn't it. And that can't make Nets fans feel great after he says this. Because that's why he's there. Whereas you're a diehard Nets fan. What'd you think when you read KD's comments over the weekend?
I just roll my eyes. And this has been the really difficult part about being a Nets fan with this team is that I am trying to look at this kind of very macro and say, this group of KD, Kyrie, and I've grown to really love James Harden, is the best I am ever going to have at this. The NBA, unfortunately, has positions itself the way Durant had to go to Golden State, where if you don't got the goods, you're not going to win a title. And to me, I view the next 2-3 years as the only shot probably in my life to truly see the Nets win a championship. So I take all that with a grain of salt, and I realize, boy, it is tough, very tough, when you see the personal reasons days off with Kyrie, when you hear Kevin Durant try to think so deeply about what makes him happy in his life, and it drives me mad as a fan. But I just try to take a step back, look at this, and understand he can say all he wants about all of that. When the time has come and he's been on the court, he's delivered. He's been awesome this year. It seems like when he steps on the court, he's not thinking about happiness. He's thinking about beating the other team and ultimately doing that. And if this is really how he feels and Kyrie continues to be the head case he is, I think this is only further proof that trading for James Harden was exactly what this team had to do, not what they should have done, because James Harden is where KD was when he joined the Warriors and everybody telling him he has to win a title to complete that. And I think as a friend of James Harden, as Kevin Durant is, and now Kyrie Irving is, those guys see that with James Harden. And I'm hoping that the James Harden acquisition kind of overrides all the happiness talk from Durant, and they are trying to give James Harden what he is longing for because they have been there. And at least that's kind of the way I'm observing this right now.
Yeah, I could see that. Harden is the key because he's got to be the hungriest now to achieve what those other guys haven't achieved. It's funny because in sports, all we say is winning a championship is everything. And so many athletes and coaches echo that we believe it. And I've said this before as well. I don't care what salary cap hell you're in, what draft picks you got to trade away. If it helps you hang that banner, that's the only thing that matters. If you are a fan, having 20 years of good basketball but never winning a championship versus 5 years of great basketball and winning a championship, every fan will take the 5 years, win a championship. Many fans will just say, give me 1 year, win a championship, and that's fine. I don't need anything more than that. Just give me that one ring. So we have built everything up into that accomplishment means everything. End of story, drop the mic. And then, you know, you have a guy that's really complicated like Kevin Durant, who's kind of like, they told me this is going to be awesome, and it really wasn't that awesome. Or, now that's done. I did that, so now I don't have to worry about that. It really does make you wonder what's going to end up motivating him, because just development is not what you want to hear. But I think to your point, is that when Kevin Durant plays basketball, he's still nasty. He's still freaking ridiculous. When he is healthy and on point, he is one of the three best players in basketball still. So that's what you have to hang your hat on. But this Nets thing has been such the dance of the devil. It's like they knew getting into bed with Kyrie and Kevin Durant was going to be something. What was it going to be? They couldn't know. But it has been every bit of that. Although not as terrible, because they're not imploding. They're still winning, and that's a good thing. But it's always managing so many things that aren't basketball. Like we said, Kyrie Irving has missed 9 games for personal reasons this year. Just random family issues, personal reasons. Who knows what they are? Just 9 different games over the course of the season, just scattered around, just taking days off. They've got to manage that. They've got to manage injuries. They've got to manage now factoring in James Harden. They've got to factor in and manage Steve Nash's expectations and his role and how he coaches. They have to factor in Kevin Durant's just mental standpoint. It's just amazing. It's totally like an early part of a relationship where you know your partner is a little crazy and you're just like, gosh, do I do this? Am I going to do this? Is this what I really want to do? And then, you know, she's the really hot chick. You're like, all right, fine. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Or it's the flip side of, you know, of a chick that sees this really handsome dude or this really wealthy guy. And, you know, you're like, oh, this guy is such a jerk sometimes. Or he's just so shallow. Or you're like, do I really want to do this? And you're like, all right, let me just try it one more month. Let me give it one more month. All right, let's just get through the Tahiti trip, and then we'll see after that. It's like every day the Nets are like, oh, Kevin Durant said, oh, he won a championship, so he didn't have to do that anymore. The Nets are going to be like, oh, great, thanks. Oh, and Kyrie, you got family stuff coming up again? Is that okay? You want to take a day off? All right. Whew. Okay, when's the playoffs start here? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, Mr. Bogues has our Stunned to a News story. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Elon Musk has 69 on his shorts.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This weekend, the PGA Tour returns to CBS as many of the world's top golfers descend upon the famous Harbortown Golf Links course in Hilton Head, South Carolina for the RBC Heritage. Live coverage begins at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, Saturday and Sunday only on CBS! Remember, you can watch the show at watchda.com, available every single day. Watchda.com is mobile friendly, so check it out. Also, you can watch us at our Twitch handle at CBS Sports Radio on Twitch. Check us out there as well. Watch the simulcast every single day. We've got the simulcast cooking. The Wizard of WatchDA.com is pressing buttons and pushing levers and making this thing sing in sparkling technicolor. Before we get to the headlines, Merez, I saw that on Friday you were gearing up for a big Bob's Bar hit. How did that go? Because we had some amazing weather on Friday and Saturday here in the Northeast.
It was gorgeous. It was a beautiful afternoon. We had a little Yankees loss to the Rays at 3 o'clock, a little happy hour music, and then into a little Ranger Islander game. It was a beautiful Friday night. It was great to be outside, a little fire going, until, of course, my wife had to call me an hour into me being there to come home, only for me to turn around and go back, because that was a lot of fun, because she couldn't find her keys to come meet me, and I found them hanging on the key rack, so if only she had opened her eyes, that would have done a little better. So we had that moment on Friday. Other than that, it was beautiful.
So you're at Bob's Bar.
Yeah.
You're about to start getting a little loose. You're about to start getting a little happy. Your wife calls you. Danielle says, I can't find my keys. You've got to help me come and find them, or you got to come pick me up?
Oh, it could be a combination of both. So I had gone early. We did a lot of playground time with Taylor and Lolly and Pop-Pop. It was a good old-fashioned Friday afternoon.
Who's Lolly and Pop-Pop?
My parents to my daughter.
Wow, Lolly. Your mom went Lolly? Like Lollipop?
Because my dad is Pop-Pop. So Pop-Pop guy goes with Lolly. They're both Lollipops. So then Danielle's okay. Mom is Grandma. So we got a Lolly and we got a Pop-Pop. Okay, that's okay. What's going on in the sun. So we do the playground. Okay. It's a beautiful Friday. We're having a good time. We're going to do a little dinner and hang out at Bob's and everything that go with that. I got a call. Danielle was working. I had taken her car on Thursday because I had a problem with my car, and she hadn't driven her car since. Was frantically looking for keys, saying, you had to have lost them. You had to have lost them.
She's at the house right now?
At the house, frantic. Can't find them. I said, oh. All right. I mean, I know I don't have them. I know I gave them back to you. So here I am. All right. I'm going to get in the car. We'll pick you up. We'll deal with the keys another time. We're not going to have the Friday night sunk. I walk in the door and she, you know, she's like, I can't believe I can't find. I don't know what's happening. Maybe Taylor took them. I turn around. I look to where the keys hang on our key rack. And there they are hanging right behind one of Taylor's jackets. I pick it up, dangle them, and she was embarrassed so much. So she pointed the finger saying, I planted them there just now when I came back and I had them. So she found her keys. I gave them back. I said, I'll meet you back there. And basically she came back. After that, the night was great. But yeah, there was a little pause in a moment that I got a little ticked off about, because if you just opened your eyes for a second and slid a jacket just so to the left, you would have found the keys. And that was the only derailing of Bob's Bar on Friday.
So Danielle, she looked at the key rack. She just didn't see the keys behind the coat.
Yes, and she claims she moved the coat. She spaced. She completely spaced when looking for these keys. And
that's usually your role in the relationship.
Which is why I was frustrated. You know, she's the one I lean on to make sure.
Yeah, she looks out for you.
Yeah, so for me to come home and find him in 2 seconds, and it wasn't as rewarding as you'd think to find the keys. to immediately be accused. And also, you know, I was just about to get going on a happy hour flow here. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Yankee game was about to start. It was bad, but neither here nor there. The night was great. It was awesome. She ended up bringing Taylor home, and then I got a ride home, and there was a little incident at the front door. I might have had a little too much rum where I might have broke the rocking chair in front of our house trying to get into the house. So it was Friday night, got nice.
You have a rocking chair on your porch.
Yep.
And you sat in it or you stepped on it?
So I brought some of Taylor's toys home, and I guess I just lost my footing coming up the stairs a little bit to get in the house, and I didn't have anywhere to plant my hands because I was carrying so much. I didn't think too quick. And I guess I just went to grab onto the rocking chair, and a part of the arm broke off that I had to fix yesterday. So Friday got a little loose, DA. Got a little loose.
Now, over the weekend also, this was pretty impressive. Bogish's daughter started in goal for the first time in her rec soccer league. So this was a big deal. She had never started in goal before. This was her debut start. It was kind of like a rookie at the Masters having a big moment, and she did very, very well. This was like the Zalatoris of the rec league soccer world for Bogish's daughter. So she was just thrust into goal. You didn't know this going in?
This was our first organized soccer game, period, for both her and my son. We had never played soccer Little League before. We were a baseball, softball family.
We call it
only,
rec here soccer came or Sunday.
Yeah,
soccer.
Rec soccer. See, I'm new to this. But yeah, she was on a team with some girls who clearly had experience, so they got to play the on-field important positions. This is, so she's about to be 10. I believe it's 9 and 10-year-old division. So there were some girls who were legit talented, And my daughter played the entire first half in net, did awesome, made what I would record as two saves in the process.
Okay, yeah.
And again, I mean, it was a really weird dynamic because half the team had like fancy travel team gear on, and the other half had basically just been introduced to soccer. The coach was saying, go play midfield. And go play midfield. And four girls said, huh? And my daughter made a save and then didn't know what to do with the ball because, again, it was our first day. But all things considered, it couldn't have gone any better.
All right. So was it a scrimmage, like a game, the first practice? Or was this just practice she was in goal?
So it was like a 90-minute window. And they practiced for a little bit. And then they played a game against another team for the back half of the window.
Throw them into the fire, huh? Wow.
Yeah. So there was practice, which is the footage that I posted was the practice footage. Because the actual game footage of her in net was probably the most stressful 30 minutes of my sporting life, hoping that no one drilled one at her, didn't want her to get in. The other goalie gave a goal within 3 seconds and seemed heartbroken, so I didn't want that to happen on our end. I didn't even have the wherewithal to pull out my phone and videotape anything because I was just completely in a panic mode.
Well, I think that's the right move, too, because kind of like Spygate, you don't want to be reprimanded by the league for illegal film work.
Exactly.
Of such a game. When I used to play goal as well in rec soccer, then I played a little bit right through like high school. My parents always said the same thing. They did not like me in goal. I had to be in goal because my footwork was not good enough to get me on the field. But it's the most stressful thing because, you know, you can hide amongst the other 10 people on the field, you know, if you're just running around. But if you're in goal, it's all on you. I liked it. I enjoyed that. But my parents always said that was the worst. We're going to have to get into how Mraz wants to have Taylor grow up to be a UConn women's basketball player. I don't know if we have time right now, but this is his new goal, to develop her into the Paige Beckers or the Lisa Leslie of Bayshore.
That's right.
Yeah, no pressure, though.
That's right.
Just become one of the three greatest female basketball players in high school so that you can get one of the scholarship to the greatest program, women's hoops. But for the moment, we have headlines. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
We've got the first Japanese man to play the Masters was back in 1936. It took until 2021 for a Japanese man to win a green jacket.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Holding on for a one-shot win yesterday at Augusta over Will Zalatoris. Matsuyama's lead as large as 6 at one point on the second nine, but Xander Schauffele closed within 2 until a triple bogey on number 16. Matsuyama then bogeyed 18 for that final margin over Zalatoris. This title comes 10 years after Matsuyama was low amateur at the Masters when he almost didn't play, as DA discussed to start the show. It is his 6th career PGA win and number 15 globally. A controversial ending last night on the diamond in Atlanta.
The pitch swung on and popped in the air left side near the line. Challenge. Ozuna getting under it. He's going to make the catch. Bohm tagging. He's coming home. Here's the throw, and he is safe. Safe, they say, at home plate. Bohm somehow got his foot in under the tag of Darnot.
Yeah, or did he? Scott Fransky, Phil's Radio. Alex Bohm called safe by home plate ump Lance Barrett, then by review. But it certainly looks like his left foot never touches home as Travis Darnot tags him. The Phils maybe stealing a 7-6 win over the Braves. In the afternoon, 4 shutouts in the NL West. The Dodgers 3, the Nats nothing. The Giants beat the Rockies 4-0. The Padres a 2-0 win in Texas, and Arizona blanks Cincinnati 7-0. Luke Weaver retiring the first 17 Reds he faced. Checking the NBA scoreboard, 30-point games from Marcus Morris and Paul George as the Clippers fought off the Pistons 131-124. Miami a 107-98 win in Portland, and the Bucks a 124-87 win in Orlando as Giannis set out again with that sore knee. Zion at 38 in the Pels, 116-109 win in Cleveland. Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell each scored 27 as the T-Wolves beat the Bulls 121-117 and the Knicks down the Raptors 102-96. Warriors center James Wiseman might be done for the regular season with a reported torn meniscus. The Browns expected to host free agent defender Jadeveon Clowney today. That'll be their second meeting. On ice last night, the Islanders down the Rangers 3-2 in OT. Pittsburgh a 5-2 win in Jersey, and Nashville beat Detroit 3-2 in a shootout. The Bruins reportedly trading for Sabres winger Taylor Hall today ahead of this afternoon's deadline. And now, we stunned.
doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Neighbor disputes are a very common thing. Trying to solve them like this, though, is not. James Payne of Rochester, New York, under arrest with a court hearing tomorrow for allegedly setting off explosives in a neighbor's yard because he was mad at said neighbor. Residents near Fallison Road in Rochester have reported hearing blasts from January 20th to February 2nd. Investigators able to piece things together finally on the night of the 2nd using security cameras from multiple homes. They can see a maroon pickup in the area right before the explosion. They can also see a maroon pickup leaving Payne's house a few minutes before that. Payne then allegedly sent neighbors a letter apologizing for the blast, saying they would continue, though, until his former friend paid up. Police found a list of those addresses plus bomb-making materials in Payne's house, hence the arrest and the court hearing tomorrow.
Okay. This is one of the best stories. What a great story to start off the week on Stunned to a News. Because this guy has a vendetta against one person in the neighborhood. So he's going to set off bombs in that person's yard until he pays up. But he's going to be considerate enough to alert the rest of the neighborhood. Just want to let you know, totally trying to smoke out this guy who I hate his guts with bombs. But I want you to know it's coming. I just want to be a good neighbor here to everybody else except this dude. Then he says in his note, call the cops. They won't catch me. He actually did this between February 24th and March the 9th. So it took the authorities 1 month to catch him. So, this guy thinks he's a criminal mastermind. It took the authorities 1 month before they apprehended the guy and brought him in. So didn't take a lot of detective work. Usually these people are on the lam. You'll never catch me. Ha, ha, ha. It took authorities in Rochester like 3 weeks basically to put it together. This was the actual letter. By the way, if you're going to set off illegal bombs in yards and you don't want to be caught, handwritten letters are probably a bad idea to the rest of the neighborhood. Here's what the letter actually said. This is amazing. I don't mean to bother you people in this neighborhood. I mean, how about that as the starting off point? I don't mean to bother you people, but this little bleep crackhead in Fallison owes me a lot of money for drugs. He is a liar and a thief. He burned down his father's cottage in the 1000 Island area for the insurance money, which he was supposed to pay me off with. He didn't. I'll keep throwing bombs off in his yard until he pays. Call the cops. They won't catch me. How about receiving that letter in this neighborhood? He, by the way, has now planted like 3 different things that you can arrest him for. He needs the money from an illegal insurance scam for drugs. And he thinks the cops won't thread any of this together and will admit all of it. Okay. Also, I don't want to bother anybody here. But I'm going to be throwing off a bunch of pipe bombs in a yard in your neighborhood in the middle of the night for like a week. Okay. I don't mean to bother anybody, but there's going to be some rattling of your windows from illegal pipe bombs I'm making. Like, you're going to make illegal pipe bombs and throw them in yards. You're probably not thinking about like quiet ordinances in the neighborhood, but he just wants to make sure that everybody understands. And also, this guy owes me a lot of money for drugs. He's a little crackhead that burned down his dad's home for the insurance money. Like, that's too much information. You don't need to let the whole neighborhood know that. They're not interested in why you're throwing off the pipe bombs. It's just that you're throwing off the pipe bombs. The whole dad's cottage thing, they're not interested in. It doesn't matter at this point. They're not like, oh, well, you know what? This dude's got a point because this guy burned down his dad's cottage. Honey, let it go. This guy burned down his dad's cottage. You get it. He's just trying to get that drug money back that he is rightfully owed. You don't call the authorities. There's a whole cottage thing going on here.
He deserves it.
This is amazing.
Too kind of criminal, DA. Too kind of criminal, too. This is the problem. He's letting everybody know what he's doing, but the real problem was you don't just put out drugs and not get the money back as a good drug dealer. Like the
true.
You don't lay out drugs and think that the quote-unquote crackhead is going to eventually pay you back. Know your clientele. Your clientele is taking the drugs. You can't assume that they're going to have the money to pay you later on at a later date.
Look, the first two seasons of Breaking Bad has taught me anything. You can't mess with Tuco and expect not to have paid up upfront. It's an upfront business.
Listen, people make mistakes. Some people buy speakers out of a van in a parking lot twice. Some people don't take down payments on drugs. We, you know, again, it's your life. You make your own choices. Did you do it again?
Oh,
is that
no,
a third
just
speaker?
Been sitting under my desk.
The guy caught me outside of Walmart this time. I couldn't say no. When we come back here on the show, Jalen Hurts was supposed to be the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles until further notice, but has that plan changed? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Doing more, sponsored by the Home Depot. Bring on spring with innovative help from the Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started on spring projects. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. How about JD Martinez? Three home runs, the Red Sox 14-9 win over the Orioles on Sunday. JD is batting .472 with five home runs, seven doubles, and 16 RBIs. Also has an extra base hit in every game he's played so far this season. Remember that the DA show is available on your smart speaker. Just tell it to play CBS Sports Radio presented by Odyssey. You can listen to us around your house, around your office, in the garage, as you get ready for the day, or as you spend some time there, even podcast form, just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio when we are on live, or you can play the podcast as well by saying play the DA Show podcast or play the Permission Granted podcast. Make sure when you say CBS Sports Radio, you add a little Odyssey in there. That's the new company name that helps Alexa find it quicker, but either way, you should be able to find us and have us on around the house, which is great. So after trading away Carson Wentz, the obvious conclusion was, well, they'll just start Jalen Hurts here. They're happy with Jalen Hurts. They're going to roll with that, get him a veteran backup, and away you go. But the Bleach Report's Tim Daniels notes that there might be other potential ideas. After Jeremy Fowler went to ESPN and cited an anonymous NFL GM saying that the Eagles are fielding calls to perhaps move up in the first round to perhaps draft a quarterback. Quote, if Trey Lance slides, if Justin Fields slides, and the Eagles have a high grade on them, they can make that move, Fowler said. People I've talked to think the Eagles could go quarterback somewhere in the draft just to either get insurance for Jalen Hurts or competition for Jalen Hurts. To me, if you're the Eagles and you could trade up to go get Fields, or you could trade up to go get Trey Lance, if you're still going to be aggressive, I mean, to me, this doesn't make any sense because you've already traded down. I just think if you're the Eagles and you're throwing this out there, I'm guessing that this is just to stir some teams to maybe make trades with you and to help you out because you're trying to make them worried that you can go and pick off that quarterback that they're interested in. But I mean, for the Philadelphia Eagles who moved down from 9 to 12, I don't understand why you would then trade up again. That seems silly. That seems stupid. You should just stay there. So I'm going to reserve judgment on this until I see the Eagles actually do it because this could all be smoke screens. But if the Eagles do then trade up again, it's stupid. It's stupid. You're already there. Actually, you were at 6. So if you're at 6 and you drop down to 12 and then you want to still move up to 8 or something to go get a quarterback, look, these guys, you've got to be absolutely convinced on. You're drafting them in the top 10, top 12. This is not just a throw a dart at a dartboard and maybe it'll work out. You have to be absolutely on point. You can't be as wishy-washy as, well, we don't like anybody and we're happy with Jalen Hurts, so we'll trade down to 12 and then flip it around and say, well, but if the guy that we really like is there, we could trade up. You should have stayed at 6 then. Then you're not that convinced of Jalen Hurts. I think it's a smokescreen because right now it is, they could field offers if a guy drops. And that's a lot of qualifiers. But it would make no sense for the Eagles to trade down and then trade up again. When we come back here on the DA Show, Alex Rodriguez is going to be part of the new ownership group for the Timberwolves. Wait, what?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.